Well, my dance car's filled. You?
Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable panel and our discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us, as it always is. It's a rainy Tuesday morning, at least in our neck of the woods. So hopefully, wherever you are, there's a little sun shining. But if not, maybe we can provide it.
We hope so.
Good.
Cool. Yeah, great. Let me introduce our panel to you. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Cool.
Yeah. Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain is with us. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
And Albany Journalism, SUNY at Albany? Yeah. Journalism Professor and Investigative Reporter Rosemary Armeo is here as well.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Let us talk about the news that broke overnight, which I think is really interesting. We've covered the story in all its, for the, it seems like 2 years that the trial went on, but Oscar Pistorius finally was sentenced yesterday, or early this morning. And
What'd he get?
He got 5 years in jail, although it is expected that he will be released from jail in 10 months and will serve out the remainder of that term, which would not necessarily be a full 5 years. Sounds like the beginning of the Bob Newhart show, doesn't
they're
it?
They're calling from the courthouse. No.
Looking for a a reprieve. So, 5 years in prison for Oscar Pistorius, and was guilty of culpable homicide in the death of his girlfriend, is expected to only serve 10 months before being put on house arrest.
All your machines are making a lot of noise. I can't concentrate.
Yeah, no, I apologize to all of you.
I turn it on, I turn it off, wherever I am. The whole thing is just not good. And there are big signs that we have posted, please turn off your cell phone before you come in the studio. So it's my bad, and I do apologize to all of you, here and there.
Are you going to do that also, Mike, for your loud iPad?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right.
But back to Oscar.
Oscar Pistorius.
I mean, I guess this recognizes that it wasn't an intentional murder, that it was that they basically agreed that his killing of his girlfriend, he had claimed that he was thought it was an intruder and that he's been frightened by the threats of intruders in the area where he lived, which was a dangerous area, I guess, and that maybe he overreacted and he certainly wasn't responsible in the sense that it did not act responsibly, but it's not the same thing as planning a murder or it was related to domestic violence. They must not have bought that argument that the prosecutor made.
And it seems as though, this is the way I'm looking at this. You take the life of another human, whatever the circumstances are, and you will ultimately serve 10 months in jail.
Well, it seems like a short sentence to us because American sentences are ridiculous. I mean, Sirhan Sirhan is still in prison. How many decades after the Kennedy assassination? But her family said they were satisfied and relieved.
That's
and the judge,
me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
that struck
the
me
judge
too.
Has worked.
Which is good. I think if they are comfortable with it, then
who are we to criticize? Right. And the judge made quite, I thought, an eloquent statement about balancing the need for mercy with the need to show that this was a serious offense. And the other thing is that he doesn't really need to be in prison to be in prison. He is not going to be able to compete in the Olympics for the next 5 years. He's lost a career. He is now a marked man like O.J. This was a grave act, and I think he will be and is being punished for it.
It seems like it's manslaughter, the equivalent in the U.S.
Yes,
of manslaughter.
His
irresponsibility caused the death of another person, and this is his punishment.
The prosecution wanted 10 years. He could have gotten, under the law, up to 15, and instead the judge gave him one-third of that.
Now, how do we know what the motivation was? I mean, you guys seem to be convinced that this was,
I think they're saying that was the case that was made. They successfully made that case.
I didn't sit during the trial, so I couldn't really argue with credibility about whether I believe
I did. I think he killed her, but, like I said.
Well, he did kill her.
He intended to kill her. And it was the result of domestic violence.
He's a real.
It was brought up in the trial that he had been violent to other women that he had relationships with.
Right. So I have my doubts, but as I say, the judge worked to be fair. The family is relieved and happy with the verdict. So that's it.
And it is fascinating to see how the law and justice system works in other countries, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was a really good example of that.
Yeah, if the judge were a local judge in upstate New York and he gave somebody a sentence like this, he'd be voted out of office next time because he wouldn't be tough on law and order.
Well, it's actually a woman, and only this second black woman to ever serve in that position in South Africa. So the judge herself was under some scrutiny. Here she is ruling on the fate of a, you know, rich and an elite white person in that country. It was very interesting.
We will take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about other stories. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this.
Support comes from Pegasus Footwear, Woodstock, Rhinebeck, and Newpaltz. Shoes and boots for children and adults. Clark's, UGG, Merrell, Keen, Fry Boots, and more. Three locations with 20,000 pairs of footwear. PegasusShoes.com. Brattleboro Retreat, presenting the Boston Gay Men's Chorus, Saturday, November 1st, at the Latches Theater, brattlebororetreat.org/chorus. Springhouse Spa, Sharon Springs, New York, a modern day spa in a historic setting, providing customized spa services, massage, and skincare. Springhousespa.com for appointments. And Mother Earth Storehouse, a Hudson Valley natural food grocer and vitamin center with locations in Kingston, Poughkeepsie, and Saugerties. Serving the community since 1978, MotherEarthStorehouse.com.
Go to the editorial pages, the opinion pages of the New York Times this morning. They say, re-elect Andrew Cuomo for governor of New York. From the first line here, for nearly 4 years, Governor Cuomo has used his formidable political skills to achieve major advances for New York. He pressured and ultimately persuaded some Republican legislators to allow same-sex marriage in the state in 2011. That provided momentum for marriage equality nationally and changed many lives for the better. At least 30,000 same-sex couples have celebrated legal marriages in the state since the law changed. He pushed through the strongest gun control measure in the country after the mass killing of school children in Newtown, Connecticut. The new law expanded the ban on automatic weapons. They say that these are badges of political courage, even though there certainly are question marks.
Well, and then the Times editorial goes on to talk about all those question marks.
Yes.
The Moreland Act Commission, and all the rest of it. So that I thought it was a very balanced and good editorial. Look, where was the New York Times going to go? For Astorino? I mean, it wasn't going to happen.
They could not hold back an endorsement as they did in the primary.
Yes, and they mention that. They go into great length to talk about why they did that in the editorial today. So, you know, look, when they say Marx of political courage, I don't know. I mean, who knows? I mean, this guy is Machiavelli redone. And he understands the way New Yorkers feel. He has the best pollster in the business in Drew Zambelli, and they can figure out where the people are. I mean, I think I wrote a column which I said that he was really of great courage to pass the gun control law, and I know that they were very pleased with that. But, you know, a good politician, Franklin Roosevelt certainly was, can always figure out where his constituents are. And they certainly, I think that no matter what you say about all the signs in upstate New York, about those aren't people who are going to vote for him in the first place, in my opinion. And I think that that if you took a view of how all New Yorkers feel about...
What do you mean signs? I'm sorry.
The
signs.
Stop.
Ban the...
All right. Yeah. The
repeal. Safe Act. Repeal the Safe Act.
Yes. Okay, the billboards.
Right,
okay.
Right. Well, they're not billboards.
They're lawn signs.
There's billboards, too. There's billboards all over the...
But highways. If you take a look at the mass of people who are in the state... and how they feel about guns, I think they're with him. I don't think that because some people are terribly articulate about it that that they're not. And I think he certainly did the right thing. On gay marriage, certainly. And he led the way, and he certainly deserves a lot of credit for having done that. But then you get things like the Moreland Act Commission, and you get 45 being for the campaign finance and collecting $45 million yourself. That sort of smells of hypocrisy to me.
Well, you know, in a recent Q&A in the New York Times magazine, he was asked how he differed from his father, and he basically described his father as, you know, sort of like winning over people with his speeches or with his rhetoric. Rhetoric, basically. Yeah. Yes, his skill, and he's more of an operator. You know, a skilled operator. He, as you described, I mean, he looks at the polls, he looks at his constituents. He's done so many things that the left and the centrists wanted that they can't abandon him now, even though he's angered them by not following through with ending corruption in Albany by dismantling the Moreland Act Commission that he started, saying that was the intention. And, you know, he has, you know, people complain that he's cut education. They say the tax cut, which everybody got a small tax cut, is, you know, a lot of it's going to businesses and it's hurting local school districts. And, you know, and you go on and on. And you know, people, there are critics, there are state employees who are certainly unhappy with him, as evidenced by the turnout in the primary in this region, which is heavily state, you know, the electorate is heavily state employees. You know, they voted against him in the primary more as a protest. But I he knows, what are they going to do? Are they going to go to Robbie Astorino, who's very far to the right? I don't think so.
Well, I do believe he is not going to do as well as he thought he was going to do. I mean, I was talking to a noted political scientist yesterday who told me that, asked me what percentage I thought he would win by. And I said 52%. 52% is not high, because I believe that a lot of people are going to vote green this year who never would have thought about it.
Yeah, it's a safe way to protest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you look at the, I think we always ask this question about the importance of editorials, and especially in a race like this where it's sort of a David and Goliath match anyway.
Yeah.
What so I bring to this question, the next big event in this campaign is going to be the debate. Will that matter?
You know, I don't get the feeling that this is an election which anybody really cares about that much. It's the conclusion is foregone. We know what's going to happen. Cuomo's going to win. By less, by the way, than he wanted to in the beginning. He's going to win. Folks in New York City and Long Island, some of those places, they don't.
He's still very popular in New York City.
Yeah, and they're not going to. They're not.
That's
gonna,
where most of the population is, by the way. The New York metro area.
That is.
They're not going to tune in to the.
He's going to win big in Western New York. And
by the way, they really do love him in Buffalo.
They do.
I was
absolutely
talking to a major banker the other day, who said, you know, he's just done incredible things in Buffalo.
Well, he's invested a lot of state effort into reviving a very sagging economy.
They think $1 billion.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, and trying to do a lot, what he has done on the State University campus here in Albany, and move a lot of that also and replicate it.
Across the state.
Across the state, including in Buffalo. And we'll obviously that seems to be playing well. We have time, I think we have a couple of letters, Alan. We got about a minute and a half before our break.
Well, good. Better you than me because I don't see them.
All right.
Okay, so somebody wrote about, Rich wrote about political signs. They grow like weeds. They're a traffic hazard and an environmental eyesore. In the Hudson Valley, the Republicans must have money because the signs are large. I've yet to meet one of these candidates. What do they stand for? Two question marks. New York State should have an election channel which is open to all those seeking office. It's bad enough we do not have early voting and election laws that need repair. A sign does not make me vote for anyone.
I would say that there is the equivalent of an election channel with the internet. Just about every candidate has a website and a Facebook page and has their biographies and their positions on it. It's worth checking out.
I would take some exception to that, Michael. I truly believe that it's a good idea to have an election place where, you know, you go in your cable channel and you come to this and you see these guys telling you what they think. I don't know.
I'm all for it. I mean, if people would look at it, it would be worth it.
The thing that bothers me with the signs is that I drive in my town and I see names that I have no idea who they are or what they're running for. And then I decide to do some research and then I realize that they are not actually running in my region. And I think, well, the person who put those signs up should have known that.
Well, I see that same thing where people in like one municipality
have
confusing.
A sign. It's confusing for us.
Well, they're trying to catch you, catch people passing through your town from a town
no one's
where
passing
they are,
through our town.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and we'll continue our conversation. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. We'll be back after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel for this Tuesday morning. Very nice to have you with us. We welcome your comments. Roundtable@wamc.org. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Mike Spain, our guests this morning. And we welcome your comments. Roundtable@wamc.org. We take requests on this program. And Rosemary?
Ukraine, of course.
Had a request. Oh, I thought, because you had asked Mike about the...
love that story. Yes, about, let's do that.
Okay.
BOCES.
And then I promise you, Ukraine.
Okay.
Okay. You get two requests this morning.
Wow, that's great. That's special.
Well, you know, this is a story today about a meeting of the State Board of Regents, but it's the issue that we talk about with respect to colleges is the value of a broad liberal arts education where you learn, along with science and math, you learn English, you learn literature, you know, you're exposed to literature and, history and art. And now it looks like the State Board of Regents is considering changes that would allow some schools to offer programs that are not so liberal arts based, but are more vocational in nature. And one of the ones that are cited today in our story is a program in Boston Spa that trains high school kids to really go to work at Global Foundries, essentially, and give them a technical degree so they actually would have the equivalent of an associate two-year college degree by the time they get out of high school. And there's another school in Queens like that. And this has been in the works for several months. It came up for discussion at the Board of Regents. And some people, you know, say that this is a recognition of what society needs. People need these skills to succeed in the workplace and that the high schools should be providing them. And others think that it'll leave a deficit with people that they won't have been exposed to the broader arts and history and et cetera.
Mm-hmm. It makes me a little bit nervous that they're being trained in this case for a specific workforce. And how long will that be there? Is this really smart? Are we training one-trick ponies? On the other hand, this recognition that vocational training is as legitimate and, in fact, more appropriate for many kids than college training is long overdue. I mean, society needs plumbers and carpenters and undertakers, and we don't allow high school kids to openly declare that that's what they're interested in. They're somehow looked down on because we have not made vocational education on a par. We've not put it on a par with college training.
I agree with that. I think that's right. You know, the Regents exams, I remember them so well.
I remember studying for them.
Right.
They brought, little workbooks.
They brought fear,
I was so lucky at them.
They brought fear into your life. I remember getting 100 on the American History with World Backgrounds exam and got called into the principal's office who accused me of cheating. And I was very upset. And I said to him, well, what was that about? And he said, a yeshiva was broken into in Brooklyn.
Hmm.
And I said, yeah. And he said, well, you're Jewish.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll never forget it.
Well, you should have just gone out and become a political scientist.
I'll never forget that as long as I live. My mother was down there in about 2 seconds flat. That wasn't nice. But we all studied it. It was, they were stupid. Because,
and you were across the river in Manhattan. Right?
Yeah. Yes. And what you did is you read the book from last year and the year before. They almost always answered asked the same questions. And so if you just studied it, you know, enough, you could get by. I don't know that it tested our liberal arts education. And I don't really remember how much I remember. I don't remember much from high school. Mm-hmm. And so I think the assumption that we're teaching people how to think is not always true, although in some cases it was.
Well, for these jobs, I mean, it's not strictly mechanical. They have to be fluent in how to use software. They have to be capable using computers and be facile at math. So it's more hard skills. It's the kind of directions people usually wait to college to take. And it's a recognition. It's a different direction.
Here's the thing. I think there's a difference between education. I believe in liberal arts education. Obviously, I teach at SUNY Albany, and job training. And why is not Global Foundries paying for this training to get the ones who are going to get the workforce that's up to par? On the other hand, we are vocational training that begins in the lower levels up through junior high and high school has been defective, well, since I've been in New York. It's there are students who know they don't want to go to college, who have no desire to study literature and mathematical theories, and yet they're taking college preparatory courses because those are the cool kids. You're regarded as an outcast if you're in high school and taking vocational. We need to change that. European countries don't have that. It does not dilute a liberal arts education for many students by recognizing that this is not for everybody. And yeah, society needs these other people.
I think that's right. We there's a whole issue about tracking. In other words, when somebody comes into a high school, are they put in with a group of people who are like-minded as opposed
and to... Like and like performers.
And like performance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And is this the people that get laughed at? You see, if the quality of the vocational education isn't good enough, then you just have this sort
correct
of rubbish heap, which is not good.
Mm. So, I mean, I'm slightly suspicious of this because New York has, your paper's filled with it today, Mike. We have put a lot of money and effort into the nanotech and Global Foundries and the whole educational industrial complex that has resulted from that. And there's lots of jobs promised and happening, and
but
is this going to be for the next 50 years that these young students going into school now will have careers? Is this the best for society to help out one particular industry? You see, I don't mean to bash.
No.
think it's great to create jobs. I am
a
little worried about it.
It's not instead of, you know, it's one alternative that students can have. I mean, there are well-paying jobs right now in these areas, and we're going out of state, even out of the country, to fill some of them. Mm-hmm. And it's an opportunity. And you know, Global Foundries is paying a bucket load of local taxes that have gone to school. So, I mean, it is coming back, and it's one segment that seems to be working.
Is that right? Global Foundries is paying taxes?
Local taxes, yeah. They got a big break on state taxes, and they got a grant, and they did get some breaks, but they're giving grants to local schools, too. I mean, you know, they're good corporate citizens now that they got their big tax breaks.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. In our country, you go up to school, you go to school, you get education up until you're in your early 20s, and then it stops forever. And I think we're in a society increasingly where that's not going to be the model, where you may work for a while in one field and then get retrained and re-educated and go into another. We've not reached that. That's not happening, but I think maybe it
not
needs
broadly.
To.
Yeah.
Not
but if you've
happening.
Read a poem by T.S. Eliot, that helps you. You have?
Shall we hear one?
Well, no, I mean, my whole point is I think education has, to some degree, gone a little sour. My father, who never graduated from high school, could add up any figure in his head that ever was. He could talk about politics endlessly. He read 4 newspapers a day, and he learned that in high school. but which he didn't graduate from. Now we have kids, as you know, Rosemary, as Joe, as teachers, who don't always, have the same intellectual rigor as high schools did back in the day. And so I'm a little concerned about that. And then when you add this vocational versus, liberal arts, it gives me pause.
I guess I'm a little bit nervous at the idea that the decisions about the educational system we have are being made by
Regents.
Players who have a stake in the outcome.
Mm. Right.
They're,
Good
point. Global Foundries and Nano are putting a lot of money into the state government. The state government makes decisions about education. It feels a little incestuous and maybe not completely public-minded.
Mm. I thought you were going to say that the regents themselves who are making these decisions have a stake in the outcome because, they're being judged on how people do. So if you remove a group of people from the regents, from the population and say, okay, these guys basically their grades aren't going to count when you're adding up how people did on the regents exams or other things, they might be doing it to look better.
Well, I should point out that they haven't finalized this. They expect to finalize it early next year. And Merrill Tisch, who is the Regents Chancellor, said that students will
Merrill
still...
Tisch, that Merrill Tisch you're talking about?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You said Merrill.
Oh,
I didn't know if you were on a first name basis.
Merrill Tisch, yes.
Yeah,
Merrill Tisch stressed that students will still have to take
Isn't she an award-winning
courses
actress?
on global studies and U.S. history and in order to graduate. So it isn't that they won't have any of these classes. It just won't be as stressed for them as they are moving other more technologically oriented classes into their curriculum.
Quién sabe.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We have your letters, and we'll talk about other topics as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Wild Birds Unlimited Nature Shop, Saratoga Springs, New York, helping to bring nature closer with Eagle Optics, Vortex, and Nikon binoculars and spotting scopes. 518-226-0071. Oakwood Friends School, Poughkeepsie, New York, an independent college preparatory boarding and day school for grades 6 through 12, focusing on the individual learner, oakwoodfriends.org. Old Sturbridge Village, an 1830s New England living history museum with working farms, hearth cooking, demonstrations of traditional crafts, and more, osv.org for details and lodging packages. And Taft Farms Great Barrington, celebrating autumn with pick-your-own pumpkins, hayrides, corn maize, and children's hay maize, apples, bakery, and deli, hearty mums, gourds, plus locally grown pesticide-free produce. TaftFarms.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel. Very nice to have you with us. And we want to get to your letters, and we welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org.
Yes, and here's one from Ted, who says, what does Ted say? Anyway, Ted says, there are no signs in Bethlehem. They are not allowed. Signs seem to be used for name recognition, but are not a good use of political funds. And that's from Ted.
It's like our listeners are having their own conversation.
Yes. There are no signs in Bethlehem. That's interesting.
Well, which Bethlehem?
Star.
The town of Bethlehem in Albany County.
Yes. Okay.
Sydney says...
no signs, no room at the inn. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Now, Sydney wants to know, are the professions of the panelists the same as they were 50 years ago? Does that mean we shouldn't train for today's jobs for fear that they won't be the same in 50 years?
The jobs of the panelists are the same as they were when we began, but I recognize that will not be the case for my children, both my own children and my students. And that's what I'm saying. Education has to change for constant retraining.
Nicely put. And I think that's what I got. Did you see something else, John?
There was one about the governor's successes from Ken.
From Ken, yeah. The governor's successes. Our governor has succeeded only on the backs of those he has bullied to support his agenda. Consider Roy McDonald, who has disappeared in politics after he was coerced into voting for the same-sex marriage law. While it is about time our state did the right thing, the governor's successes do not justify the means. Well, you know, I was saying that to somebody just the other day that, you know, I think he would do much better electorally if he just could sort of be nicer.
Well, he has two more weeks, and he has the public debate. No, truly. He has.
He only has to be nice for two more weeks. And
that's
then
not
he can,
candy.
That's
at
not,
all. Yeah.
That's not exactly what
people
I was
say, saying. The big thing that he has going for him is people say, look, he gets things done. I don't
that
like
is exactly
him, but he gets
right.
Things done.
Yeah, he may not have as warm a personality as like Governor
Mario
Pataki might have had. You know,
I don't think he had any personality.
Well,
Pataki.
Okay.
So
I was trying to just use another governor.
Okay, so you said he has 2 weeks to do what?
I think at his performance at the debate in Buffalo this week, on which will be televised, will give him
and
the opportunity.
We'll air it right.
So he can't punch out anybody. He can't.
I think he's gracious and not condescending and not a bully, it will go a long way.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
You know, in the McDonald thing, though, was it really the governor who was wrong? He pressured McDonald to do the right thing.
With a promise
he,
of support.
I'm not sure that he was coerced.
Yeah.
I think it was ultimately Roy McDonald's decision, and I think he was very brave.
It was the voters
right
who did him wrong. It was the voters who did him wrong.
It was the right thing to do. On the other hand, here was Andrew, may I call him that, who decided...
Why not I call him Merrill Tish Merrill?
Who decided that the Republicans better go along with him on a series of these things, otherwise they weren't going to be the majority party anymore. So if you think about it for a second, they really were between a rock and a hard place in voting for these signature programs that the governor wanted. On the other hand, they all knew that if he got angry enough about them, they would not be in the majority anymore, and therefore they would have the power of warm spit, as we say.
That sounds like politics. Isn't that the system we set up? And Cuomo knows how to use it. Look at Patterson in contrast. He made a muck of it.
Right. Did I say?
No.
Right.
No, and I know
he's a political strategist. That's how he describes himself, and he gets.
So is Machiavelli.
Sure. I mean, Machiavelli would say that people will never thank you for changing the systems. You know, you'll hold their enmity for it, but they'll benefit from it. And if you're not really looking for warm praise, you're just looking for success in the outcome, then he is Machiavelli.
No. I know enough about it.
I know that summarizes Machiavelli maybe a little too narrowly.
Machiavelli's always been a controversial figure to
yes.
political scientists. Was he kidding? Was he sarcastic? Was he with this and that? But I think he could get a lot of the stuff done if he portrayed himself or seemed to be a nicer person.
Well, that'll be his challenge in the next 4 years if he's reelected.
Right. Who's the model of the nice politician who got a lot done?
Lyndon Johnson.
Oh, my.
He was nice to some people.
But you're right about that. I mean, Lyndon Johnson and Andrew Cuomo both knew how to break arms.
You either are nice, Jimmy Carter, and you're vilified, or you get things done, our governor, and you're vilified.
Or how about Mussolini? Mussolini got things done.
It made the trains run, right.
You know, but the point really is that sometimes in a democracy, it's tough to be tough.
Okay, so we have a few letters on vocational education.
Oh, we do.
Yes, we do.
I say, okay.
But I think we have touched a nerve.
Plune says, as a humanities PhD who is also a carpenter and was a truck driver, I wholeheartedly agree with the need for a good vocational education. However, when it comes to tracking and streaming in high school, one very important question is who gets to do what? Mm-hmm. Who gets to go to college and who gets to go to Global Foundries? Where I feel distressed in the system when it starts doing that is the choice of students. Will the numbers end up being race and class based? And how do we fight that? Thanks for a great discussion.
Oh, good letter. Great letter. That's exactly the points that I wanted to come out on this. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, that was a great one. And Kathy says, learning is a lifelong process. Programs like the ones in Boston Spa and Queens are popping up across the country. The jobs that this training provides will give students a well-paying jobs. If people are so inclined, these jobs will afford them the opportunity to study liberal arts or anything else they may want to study later in life.
Also true, although we don't have that system widely in place right now.
There are
it's rather difficult
to
go back to school as an adult.
And Henry says, what about the BOCES program? They should be doing this type of education.
Well, I think they are.
You know, the boards of cooperative educational services for decades have been providing, you know, vocational training. You know, when I was in high school, kids would be able to take, you know, auto repair or construction or we used to call it home economics, you know, different.
Showing the low regard in which those programs were held.
Yeah, I mean they were probably criticized a lot, but they probably were useful to.
They were made fun of. That's what happens. The kids in the BOCES programs are treated as special ed kids, and so you would see students going into college prep programs purely for status rather than a good plan
for
their life.
Yeah, they wanted to avoid any criticism.
Exactly.
And FCAM, too, writes, small correction, political signs are not permitted on public lands in the town of Bethlehem. Private landowners can display political signs on their own property if desired.
All right. We are cleared up on that. Let us go to our final topic. Monica Lewinsky is back.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. Monica, not Ukraine.
She's tweeting.
Oh, I apologize.
We only had 2 minutes, so I didn't want to get into the...
Well, she is portraying herself as the first victim of internet reputation destruction or something like that.
Yes.
She speaks very articulately that she, you know, long before Google was big, she, you know, the Drudge Report was just coming out and her story destroyed her life. But I think a lot of people have had their lives destroyed by media coverage, so I don't know how different it is.
And what makes it destroyed? I mean, it's interesting that she tends to
point of view.
That girl needs
a job. She needs a real job. She's needed it for a long time. She's got brains. She's never used them. And who was the architect in New York City who was involved in a scandal and the woman ended up dead? There was only print at that time. Was that the turn of the century?
Yeah, it was the scandal. Right,
So this is just a matter of degree. The whole Method world at the time. Right.
I think sometimes when you're touched by the fickle finger of fate, you know, you find it very, and a fickle finger of fame anyway, you find it very hard to give that up.
I mean, wouldn't you, because you so often hear this thing about, you know, the President Kennedy had various mistresses and it was never reported and there was always a, you know, the press was, knew about it but didn't.
Yeah, a new book says it was Gary Hart's affair.
Matt Bai.
That changed the way the media covers presidential candidates and forever, and now they're reporting.
But I just can't believe gotcha that if there were well, never mind.
I think it's the institution. I think the institution was ready to go after these guys at that point, and he happened to be convenient.
I think it was the salacious elements of what
if
went on
was,
in that scandal. There was no way
in the White House. Whoever's going to report it, and no matter what it means, that's going to be a
story.
Correct?
Cigars, stained dresses.
But it wasn't with FDR, and it was. It wasn't with FDR, and it wasn't because the institution, the press institution, wasn't ready to go there yet.
Yeah, but who? Okay.
Good point.
Well, that's true.
And Kennedy.
That's true.
Where
well, that's
his
what I was dalliances saying.
Did affect his performance, and and the press still didn't report
especially
it.
When you're making out with a mafioso's girlfriend.
Exactly.
And on that note, we thank you very much for joining us this morning, and we hope that you'll write to us, roundtable@wamc.org. Hopefully we've left you with a lot to think about. roundtable@wamc.org. Michael, Rosemary, and Alan, thank you. We'll be back.
I have to go read about Ukraine.